2 weeks ago, the name Ashley Madison probably meant nothing to most of us in this room. And yet, over the last 2 weeks, we've probably all become aware, most of us have become aware, that this name refers to a website whose whole purpose is to aid those who are married or in a committed relationship to have an affair in secret, or your money back, as the site says. The tagline on the site is, "Life's short, have an affair." That's the culture we live in, folks, where even in sort of this couth way, an affair is glamorized and is privatized to the sense that no one would know about it. That's what the site prided itself on, protecting the secrecy of those pursuing an extramarital affair. And yet, 2 weeks ago, the site was hacked. And there were millions of email addresses that were put out. Those who had signed up for the site, those who had sought interest in the site, those who had actually used the site for an affair. Personal information, email addresses of 30 million people who had used the site were made public. The names included politicians, college presidents, mayors, seminary professors, pastors, deacons, and Sunday school teachers. A respected teacher of the word that I know, Ed Stetzer, said that today, this morning, based on his conversations with church leaders in many denominations in the United States and Canada, he estimates that 400 church leaders, pastors, elders, staff, deacons will be resigning this morning, because their name is now public. And that's just 400 that have used that site. Think about that. How many thousands are pursuing the same sort of deeds outside of such a horrific website? Now, let's stop for a minute, because there's some things we can learn by this event, the releasing of this information. First of all, sin does not remain in secret ever. One reason you sin is you convince yourself it's just about you. Behind the computer screen in secret where no one else knows, whatever it is you're doing, you convince yourself it's just me, no one else knows, and it only affects me. And yet, this week, thousands of families have been devastated by acts that were supposed to be kept in secret. Devastated. I've even personally heard of professors who committed suicide this week because their name was on the list. It's just you. That's a lie. And it doesn't remain in secret. Second of all, you have to understand when you hear such things in the culture, not just this week, not just this situation, you have to understand that big public sins don't happen in isolation. They happen decision by decision. They happen step by step. They happen click by click. As you move in the flesh away from Christ, step by step, they don't happen in isolation. And understanding those things, the best thing we can do when we see such events is look in the mirror. Because all of us right now are being cultivated to make such decisions that lead down such a path. Every one of us here today are making decisions where we will serve ourselves, where we will serve our flesh, where we will make ourselves the center of the universe. We are making little decisions that lead down the path if we give into it. Every one of us here today. And so we look in the mirror and we ask, as Paul does here, am I being led by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, or am I walking according to the flesh? Not those whose sin is public. Those whose sins are sitting in the pew right now. Are you here today walking by the Spirit or according to the flesh? Because you can be here today serving your flesh. And Paul is very pointed in the language that we hear here. Most of the time we come to this text and we think fruit of the Spirit. And we think crocheted blankets. Oh, Paul is talking about something that is radical. Something that is difficult. Something that gets to the nitty-gritty of everyday life. He's talking about war. He's talking about a battle that goes on in our own life. And in verse 16, he says, but I say to you, in light of the gospel, in light of the section that we just moved through last week where he says, the law is fulfilled when you love. Just love. How do you love? You walk by the Spirit. Now, this term walk in the New Testament is so important because normally we think about our Christian life and it's just here in the hour and 30 minutes that we're here or the hour and a half to 2 hours we meet with our Bible fellowship group or whatever we do with our church. That's when the Spirit matters. And yet Paul is saying, no, are you walking by the Spirit daily? The pattern of your life from the time you hit the snooze button to the time you are brushing your teeth to go to bed at night, are you walking by the Spirit Monday through Sunday? Are you living by the Spirit? It's not a one-time event. It's a pattern of your life. So ask the question, are you walking by the Spirit in light of the gospel? You're called to love. How do you do that? Walk by the Spirit. Are you walking by the Spirit? And Paul asked this question in this section, how do I know if I'm walking by the Spirit? Here's the first question. Are you becoming less self-centered and more Christ-centered? Ask yourself the question today. As you walk, as you live, are you becoming less self-centered and more Christ-centered in your life, your family, your work, the things you do on a daily basis? Paul says here, if you are walking by the Spirit, you will not gratify the flesh. You will not please the flesh. You will not give in to the flesh. You will not give in to the desires of the flesh. And then he explains here, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. And he's making a point, these things are opposed to one another. You don't walk the fence and think, okay, I'm living by the Spirit, I'm gratifying the flesh. No, you are doing one or the other on a daily basis. There's two options. There's two roads. These things are opposed to one another. And he says they are to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. As a believer, if you're here today, you want to follow Christ. You want to love others. You want to serve. I'm always amused by the Christian that comes to me and says, I don't know if I'm a Christian. I don't know if I'm saved. I have this guilt over all the sin in my life. And I don't do enough for Jesus. I don't read my Bible enough. I don't share the gospel enough. I don't do enough for Jesus. And they're stricken with all this guilt. And I usually say, hey, listen, unbelievers don't want to do those things. So the fact that you're even struggling is a good thing. But Paul explains this battle that's going on here between the Spirit and the flesh. And we know from the Bible the Spirit's role, the Spirit's goal is always to point us to Jesus. So when he says, are you walking by the Spirit? What does that look like? Well, the Spirit's role, beginning in Genesis 1 to Revelation, the end of the Bible, is always to say, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Jesus is the creator of the world. Jesus is God's king. God has created the world for Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. The Spirit moves. The Spirit interacts with everything to say, look at the glory of Jesus. And so if you are walking by the Spirit, more and more your life is going to become Christ-centered, because that's what the Spirit does in your life. And in the book of Galatians, what is the Spirit telling you about Christ? What does it mean to be Christ-centered in the book of Galatians? Well, Jesus has died on the cross for your sins. Jesus has lived a life you could never live. He fulfilled the law for you. Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so if you are walking by the Spirit, according to the book of Galatians, you are constantly looking to Jesus, and in Jesus, those things are true for you. And so if you're walking by the Spirit, you're constantly saying, it's amazing that I've been adopted by God in Jesus. My life is all about Jesus. Look what Jesus has done for me. God loves and accepts Jesus. He loves and accepts me. In Jesus, I have His Spirit living within me that tells me I am a son and the kingdom is mine. Are those things becoming treasures to you? Is what's true about you in the gospel becoming more and more a delight in your life? It is if you're walking by the Spirit. Because on a daily basis, you're constantly looking to what Christ has done for you. And Paul says, do it. Constantly embrace it. Constantly look to it. Constantly trust in it. But he says, if you are living according to the flesh, you're going to give in to some desires. For those who have believed in Christ, the Spirit of God comes in your life. It transforms you. And the Bible teaches that God's presence literally lives within you and points you to Jesus. And yet we still live in a world that's cursed by death. And there are still temptations in this world that we struggle with. In some sense, we are still polluted with our old nature and our old desires. Even the things we long for, food and drink that we have to live, that our bodies long for, are twisted, and we even take food and drink and we use them for ourselves. We become drunk and we become gluttons. Things that are natural desires are even twisted in on us. And Paul says, that is the flesh. And you gratify the flesh. How do you do that? You make everything about you. The Spirit makes everything about Jesus. The flesh makes everything about you. And so are you becoming more Christ-centered? Or are you becoming more self-centered? The flesh shows up in two ways in our life. First of all, he talks about self-gratification, giving in to the desires of our heart. You say, I'm the center of the world. I should be able to do and get what I want. It also shows up in self-righteousness. According to my flesh, I can save myself. I don't need Jesus. So I'm the center of the universe, not Jesus. I do what I want. I'm the center of the gospel. I can save myself. I don't need Jesus. Are you becoming more self-centered? The longer you live, you're serving yourself more. Even the longer you're in the church, you're becoming more self-righteous. Look at me. Paul says that's works of the flesh. But then he says in verse 18, notice, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And that seems to be odd. He's talked about Spirit, flesh, and then he brings this issue of the law back in. Well, the law says you are guilty of living according to the flesh. The law says you are guilty of being self-righteous. But what does the Spirit say? The Spirit says you are free. And if you're walking by the Spirit, you're going back to what the Spirit says, that in Christ I am free. The Spirit is pointing you to Christ, and the Spirit is saying the law has no condemnation for you. Ask the question again. Are you becoming more Christ-centered or self-centered? Because that is the battle. Or are you believing what God has said about you, that in Christ the righteous demands of the law have been fulfilled for you? That's your battle. That's our battle. You come in here today and you have all kinds of sins that you could point to, all kinds of ways in which you are failing, but the heart of the battle is to stop looking to yourself. The heart of the battle is to stop looking at what you can do or what you want to do and constantly looking to everything that you have in Christ, constantly looking to everything Christ has done for you. Is that becoming routine in your life? Are you walking by the Spirit? Because that is the battle. The battle is real. And at the heart of it is the question, are you looking to Christ more or to yourself? Some of you come in here today and you're just discontent with life. Things have not gone the way that you wish they would. You look at your marriage, you look at your kids, you look at your house, you look at your job, and you are just discontent. And you know what the flesh would say? You deserve to be discontent. You deserve more. You deserve more than this job. You deserve more than this family. You deserve more than this spouse. The flesh says it's about you, and you deserve more. But what does the Spirit say in those moments? No, in Christ, your sins have been forgiven, and you have an eternal kingdom. And everything in this life is to make much of Jesus. And everything in this life is to cause you to hope for this kingdom. The Spirit steps in and says, you of all people shouldn't be discontent. Who can separate you from the love of God? Not even death. Some of you come in here today and you're thinking, even in these moments about sin that you will commit or that you're committing now, and you say, I will be happy once I can do that. And then you do it, and then you're discontent and you're dissatisfied. You say, no, I need to do it again. I need to do it again. And you're planning sin that you're going to commit because you think it's going to satisfy you in ways your marriage can't satisfy. Other relationships can't satisfy. You are going to take pleasure in sin because you think sin will satisfy. And the Spirit says, no. You have a kingdom where at the right hand of God, the psalmist says, there are pleasures evermore. And as you thirst and long for sin to try to make you happy, the Spirit says your heart will be exploded with eternal happiness when Jesus busts open the sky and you see him for all his glory. Hope and wait. Kill sin. Move from sin toward Christ. And those of you come in here today and you're thinking, I don't know how I can be a Christian. I'm here today to sort of cover up my sins from yesterday and last night. If I can come in here and I can sing the songs just right. If I can listen to the sermon just right. I'm tired. I want to fall asleep. But no, I got to listen. I got to sing. I got to go through these things. Then God is going to be happy with me. You know what you're doing right now? You're living according to the flesh. You're looking more and more and more and more towards yourself, what you can and should be able to do, you think, for God. That's fleshly worship. Because what the Spirit would have you do right now is look to Jesus. Stop looking to yourself to cover your sin up. Stop looking to do more for God to cover your sin up. No, look to Jesus. Stop looking to your flesh. One of the indicators that you're walking by the Spirit and not according to the flesh is love. And so we ask the question, are you becoming more self-centered? Are you becoming more Christ-centered? How do you know? Well, if you are becoming more Christ-centered, you will be more loving. If you're becoming more self-centered, you will be more self-gratifying. And that's what Paul explains here as he continues. Notice verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not guilty of sins according to the flesh. But notice what he does in verse 19. We usually disconnect verse 18 from verse 19, and that's not what Paul wants us to do. He says, now works of the law are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Now his purpose here is to say, if I'm under the law, verse 18, then I'm guilty of what? And then in verse 19 he says, all of these things. All of these things. You are guilty of making sex about you. You're guilty of sexual immorality. You're guilty of thinking it's just about your pleasure. And then some of you come in here and you said idolatry and sorcery. I have not been to a sorcerer this week. I used to play Dungeons and Dragons and mess around with a Ouija board, but that's been years ago. I'm not guilty of sorcery. Yes, you are. Because this week you've looked to someone other than Jesus for guidance and wisdom. Mostly the person in the mirror who says, I would do it this way. I think it should be done this way. Well, I haven't bowed down to anything wooden all week. Well, you've made other things idols in your life. Mostly the person you look at in the mirror. And Paul says, you are guilty of making all of these things about you. We're all guilty of making even good things about you. And he gets to the end result of these things, fruits of the flesh, celebration of the flesh. And what does it often lead to? Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, division. You push others away. Why? It's about you. And Paul says, if you're living according to the law, verse 18, trying to please God with your goodness, stop for a minute and think about the works of your flesh. Jesus would put it this way. You've heard it said you should not commit adultery. But I'm telling you, if you lust, you're guilty of adultery. It's a heart issue. All of these things are heart issues. All of these things are done in the heart. All of these things come from the heart. He would say, you've heard it said, you shall not murder. Well, guess what? If you've been angry, you're guilty of murder. Why? You've made it about you. And he says, you are guilty of all of these things. You see, we often want to look at the world. And we get down to the second part of verse 21 where Paul says, I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know what Paul is really saying here? Under the law, you're all guilty. Read the Ten Commandments today. How many of those have you broken in the last 5 minutes? Paul says you're guilty of all of these things. And I'm warning you, apart from Christ, if you practice these things, the kingdom is not yours. The kingdom comes in and takes rule over your life, gives you Christ, gives you the gospel, and it transforms your life. But just like in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the Corinthians who are guilty of all kinds of sexual immorality, deviant behavior. He says, oh, by the way, church, such were some of you. As I read the list here, some of you are here today going, I've never done that, never done that, never done that, never done that. But some of you here today had no problem saying, hey, that was me 24 hours ago. That was me last week. That was me. And guess what? If you've come in here today to try to cover it up with some good stuff, Paul says, no, you're still guilty. Apart from Christ, you're still guilty. Notice he continues, this is celebration, fruit of the flesh. And then he gets into what it looks like to live according to the Spirit. If you are living according to the flesh, you are guilty of those things. Serving the flesh, worshiping the flesh, giving in to the flesh at all times. But contrast, if you're walking by the Spirit, here is the fruit. And notice fruit is singular. He doesn't want us to get to this point in the text and go, okay, give me a checklist. I want to make sure I'm not going to hell. Now, give me some good things that I know I can find something in here that I've done. No, he says, no, this is the characteristic of your life. This is who you are. Your life as a whole embodies these things. Don't come up with your checklist. Don't come in here today and say, well, I'm not very loving, but I do have joy. That's not what he wants. He says, no, if you're walking by the Spirit, all of these things will be characteristic of one person. Fruit of the Spirit, love, means you are committed to the good of others. Joy, you are able to trust and rejoice in difficult situations because you have the gospel, because you have Christ. Peace, you have peace with God. The war between you and God is over. And so you are patient with others. There's no war between you and others. You are able to suffer long with them, put up with them. You are kind. You serve others. You are good to others. You're looking out for their best interests. You are faithful. You are loyal. You are true. You are committed. You are, verse 23, gentle. And you have self-control. And notice he says, there's no law against these things. There was a law against fruit of the flesh, evidence of the flesh. You're guilty of those things. But if you're in Christ, there's no law. What's he saying here? You are free to do these things. You have freedom. And that's what you do with your freedom. You do what? You love. And then you're known as a person who bears these characteristics and qualities in your life. You're not on a mission to serve yourself. And every one of these qualities counters the evidences of the flesh that we just looked at. You're not trying to do these things. You are these things. Does that make sense to you? Some of you come in here with a checklist. I got to get love down. Then I can move to joy. Then I can move to peace. I'm going to leave self-control to the end. No, they all work together. This is just who you are. People look at you, and this is who you are. Why? Because you're walking by the Spirit, which means you look to Christ, so you're loving. You're not walking according to the flesh, looking out for yourself, pushing others away. And so there's two different roads here. Notice, if we went back up into verse 19, he says, these things are evident. The evidence of the flesh, it's obvious. And Paul would say to the religious leaders here, you can look out at the pagan culture, and it's obvious what it looks like to live according to the flesh. Today, we can do the same thing. We can look out at our culture and say, yes, that's what it looks like to live according to the flesh. That's what it looks like to serve your... That's obvious. What's his point there? It's not so obvious when you're in the church and you're living according to the flesh. And what is the point he's been making? If you're taking the law, list, tradition, and you're trying to please God with those things, you're just as guilty as a pagan idolater because you're worshiping yourself, your ability. He says, you're guilty of pagan idolatry if you don't have Jesus, apart from Jesus. That's not so evident. Ask yourself some serious questions. Are you living according to the flesh? Then you're probably unloving. If you live according to the flesh, when you look at others, there's two things that come to mind. They're either a nuisance to your pleasure or a tool for your pleasure. Most everybody in your life fall into those two categories. Teenagers come in here today, young adults. Think about your parents. They're probably a nuisance to your pleasure, your happiness. You just don't love me. You think about your spouse. Some of you think about them today and they're a nuisance to you. That commitment you made just sort of keeps you from doing what you want to do. Some of you think about the people you work with, and they're a nuisance to you. And then you think about other people and their tools. I need to get what I can out of them and move on. Whether it's your coworkers, your wife, your kids. Some of you come in here today and you have the appearance of loving your kids, but they're little idols to you. And it's all about you. The way you parent is all about you. So that you can post their picture on Facebook and say, look at me. And they're little tools for your fame. They need to be well-mannered. They need to have the right education. They need to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. That's about you. They're tools for your name. But our... the people in your life seen as nuisance and tools are opportunities for the glory of Christ. Do you wake up in the morning and you are on a mission to make much of yourself through your job, your career, your home, your recreation? It's all about you. Or do you wake up in the morning and say, Jesus, you've given me another day. I want to walk by your Spirit today. What does that mean? Everything I touch is about your glory. Everyone I speak to is about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about my fame. It's not about my reputation. It's not about what I can get out of them. It's about Jesus. And I want the glory of Christ to be known in this relationship, in this conversation, in this act. I want this to be about Jesus, because if it's about you, you're a miserable person and people probably don't want to be around you very much. But if you come to the situation, no strings attached. This is about the glory of Christ. Why are you doing this for me? Why are you forgiving me in this way? Why are you relinquishing your rights for me? Because Jesus did the same for me. And I want to love you, no strings attached. Are you becoming more self-centered? Are you loving yourself more? Or are you becoming more Christ-centered, and so you're loving others more? Are there people in your life who a year ago you couldn't stand the sight of them? Let's just be honest. And now you find yourself making copies for them at work. That's fruit of the Spirit. Are there people who have absolutely done you wrong? People who have betrayed you, stabbed you in the back, and there is no reason for you to serve them, no reason for you to love them, and yet they may be sitting next to you this morning in church. Guess what? That's fruit. Some of you are laughing. That's fruit of the Spirit. That's good. That's great. That's the work of Christ in our life. Paul wants us to ask the question, are you loving yourself more? Or are you loving others more? Now, if you're like me, you go, wow, I got a long way to go. Because I'm, according to verse 19, 20, and 21, I am extremely guilty. And then when I get down to verse 22 and 23, I mean, there's not much there. And I struggle in every one of those areas. If you're like me, you say, I'm guilty of works of the flesh. And if you're like me, you say, I'm lacking work of the Spirit. Well, there's good news for you. And the point is, that's true of everyone in here. We are guilty of the first list, and we are lacking of the second list. And so we would say, Paul, you make it impossible to please God. You make it impossible to walk by the Spirit. And this is where he has been moving us to the whole time. Verse 24, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. Do you get that? You crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Notice he says, you have done this. He doesn't say you're waiting to do this. He doesn't say this is something you have to do again. What is he saying there? If you're guilty of the first list, you've already been crucified for the first list. You've already died. You've already been tormented. Your flesh has been ripped from your body, and you have screamed to the top of your lungs, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you have screamed, it is finished. In Christ, you've already been crucified for the works of your flesh. You've already died to your sin. You want to know how to love? You want to know how to do the second list? You want to know to how someone can look at your life and say, that's the fruit of the Spirit, they're loving. Well, you stay at the cross, and you don't move from the cross. You got to go back to the cross. I was talking to Dan Robertson this week, and he used a term that I can't get out of my head, the gospel reset button. You push it every single morning and every night. And you go back to the cross where you died. You died for your sin in Christ. When Christ was being crucified, you were being crucified. You were being separated from God. You've already died in Him. And so if you're here today and you say, how can I be more loving? Number one, go back to the cross. How could you be unloving when you're staying at, when you're resting, when you're standing at the cross? How could you be unloving? Because on the cross, you see the extent of your sin. It took the sinless, perfect, righteous, glorious Son of God to pay for your sin. You who were an enemy, who were shaking your fist at God, and He would take your sin on Himself and then give you His righteousness. How could you walk away from Golgotha and not be more loving? How could you? It's impossible. You've tasted, you've experienced love like no one else on the cross, in the cross of Christ for you. Go back to the cross. Stay there. Live there. Look upon the sacred head that was wounded for your transgressions, and don't leave Him. Be reminded with every sin, every sinful motive, every sinful thought, every sinful action, I've been crucified. I've already died. Notice He continues, if we live by the Spirit, this is how we do it. We stay at the cross. He says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Again, He wants to emphasize, this is walking. We would go back to some of these things on these lists and say, that was a one-time act. That was another act. That was another. No, you're walking with the Spirit. Not just things you are doing, you are living. And he says, keep in step. The Spirit is telling you, on the cross, your sins have been paid for. In Christ, you're accepted. Stay with Him. Live with Him. In the Word of God that the Spirit has written for us, stay there. And then he says this that doesn't seem to make any sense. Let us not become conceited. Let us not think of ourselves more than we ought, provoking others to become conceited, provoking others to wrath and anger, envying one another. If you're looking at yourself, that's what you're going to do. You're going to begin to compare yourself to others. If it's all about your goodness, you're going to compare yourself to others. And what's that going to do with others? They're going to compare yourself to you. They're going to be provoked to do those things. But no, in the context of the church, what are you doing? You're serving. So stay at the cross and then serve. You want to know if you're a Christian today? Love others. Look to the cross and love others, period. If you feel unloving, look to the cross and then just start loving others. Do it. If you have the Spirit of God within you, that's what's natural. That's why the context of local church membership is so important. Some people say, why do I have to join? Oh, because you commit to people. Just like you do at the altar. I can't just walk away from you. I can't just show up and bounce around. No, I have to love you. Well, you're weird. Well, I still have to stay. Well, I didn't know you were that way. Well, I still have to stay. What's that called? Love. Love. That's what it's called, love. You're committed to the other person's good no matter what it costs you, no matter how weird and unloving they are. And Paul says, look to the cross and love in the church. The church is this real, tangible place where God's will is no longer a mystery to you. You come in here today and you say, what's God's will for my life? I can tell you. There's no lightning bolt in the sky. You're not going to see Jesus' face on a pancake this week. He's going to start speaking to you. This is what I want you to do. No, I'll tell you today. Look to the cross and love others. The rest works itself out. And in the context of the church, I love the fact that I get to wake up on a Sunday morning and come in here. And there are people here that I don't want to be around all the time. Chad. But I have to. And I love, I'm kind of joking when I say that. But I love, hey, we're in this together and I walk away and I'm better for it. God, Christ is teaching me how to love. I can't leave you. I won't leave you. I'm in this for the long haul. That's what it means to love. And that's what it means to walk by the Spirit. Looking to the cross and loving others. You know, as I look at these lists, I am so glad Christianity is not about a list. A list that you can find email addresses of leaders and politicians, businessmen, deacons, factory workers who've committed adultery. It's not about a list. It's not about a list of good things that you've done today. Coming to church, reading your Bible, being involved in a BFG, going to the women's thing Tuesday. It's not a list. It's a person. And when we read the first list, we do say, Jesus died in my place for all of those things. But when we read the second list, guess what? Jesus is all of those things for you. And so if you're unloving, guess what? Jesus is loving. If you don't have joy, Jesus had joy even in the face of the cross. Jesus is your peace. Jesus is your patience. Jesus is your kindness. Jesus is your goodness. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is gentle. And Jesus has self-control. Jesus is fruit of the Spirit. And he's fruit of the Spirit for you. He is those things for you. How do you know? He's been those things to you. He's been loving to me. He's been merciful. He's been good to me. I know those things. Those things are personal. So while he died in your place, he is those things for you. And when God looks upon you, he sees him. And he sees one who perfectly fulfills the fruit of the Spirit. So what does it mean to, so I don't have to do anything. No, if you're walking by the Spirit, you're walking with the person who is those things. And guess what happens to you? You become more like him. I've joked around about how I like to spit. Because baseball games, you spit all the time. And every now and then, if I get into a song in here, I'll spit on the floor. Sort of my form of worship. And my girls have done that. And I'm realizing Jonah's becoming probably the best spitter in the house. Plays his game. But I can look at my kids and see all kinds of ways they become like me. All kinds of ways they become like their mom. When Danae's away, the girls just sort of take over. And, they get a little bossy with me sometimes, and that doesn't work. But they become like their parents, good and bad. I'm noticing this with my older son. He's becoming sort of a sports fanatic like his dad. I realized it last year during the NFC championship game, the Cowboys in the playoffs, Green Bay, Dez Bryant really caught the ball, that sort of thing goes on. He was actually going to a baseball practice, and I noticed 45 minutes later, he was still just irritated about something. Like, what's wrong with you? He caught that ball. He caught that ball. And last night, he's talking about the football season. He's getting all pumped up. They become like you, even in good and bad ways. Why? Because they're with you. They're with you. Mom and dad here today, they're going to be like you because they're with you. Is that a good thing or a bad thing in your house? And when you walk by the Spirit, guess what? You're with Christ. It's his presence. It's his presence. It's not some mystical thing that's just out there that you got to grab hold of. No, it's the person of Jesus walking with you. And so you see situations where you don't want to have compassion. You don't want to have a love. You don't want to have kindness. And guess what? Jesus does. And you become like Jesus. So ask yourself the question today. Are you becoming more Christ-centered or self-centered? Are you becoming one who loves others or are you loving yourself more? But finally, are you walking with Jesus? Because that's what it means to walk by the Spirit.